Hey, Whatnot the Podcast. Pastor Wolfmuller here. Hope you're well. God be praised for the ascension of Jesus, that he sits at the right hand of the Father and rules and reigns in the world, working all things together for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. A couple of things this week. This is a Sunday drive home. I think you published it yesterday, Monday, talking about Jesus' words when he says the world hates you, and then what he does about it. He sends you into the world, and reflecting on what that means for us in these gray and latter days. I hope you enjoy it. Also, last week we started a new podcast, The Tower of Babel, where Jared Henderson and I answer your theological questions. You can find that hopefully on the website, wolfmuller.co/tower, and you can find the episodes there. I'm working on getting that feed set up right now. So if you go and visit the Tower website, you might beat me to it, depending on how fast you work and I work, but that might be enjoyable for you as well. And if you got questions, wolfmuller.co/contact, that'd be great. Otherwise, here's this week's Sunday Drive Home episode for you internet theologians out there called, oh goodness, what is this called? It is called Surrounded by Haters. Here you go.
Hey, Sunday drive home. I'm not done thinking about the sermon yet, so you guys can help me. So, John 17, Maundy Thursday, high priestly prayer of Jesus, starting with 14, he washes the disciples' feet, and then I'm the vine, you're the branches, I go to prepare a place for you. He prays to, he's going to send the comforter. In this world you will have trouble, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world, all of this, and then he prays. You may be one as I and the Father are one. And then today, right around verse 15 or 16, Jesus says, the world hates you because you are not of the world, and also it hates me because I also am not of the world. Jesus establishes as a fact the hatred of the world for the Christian. The hatred of the world for Jesus. Now, there's two errors. Well, there's probably a lot of ways to get this wrong. Here's a few. Number one, we think that the world just now started hating the church. Like in the 50s, the world loved the church. Or in the 90s, or no. The world hates the church, and always has and always will. I mean, from the moment that Cain killed Abel. That's a long time ago. I mean, that's when the world still had the new world smell. All the way till now, all the way to the end, the world is hating the church, and which is, should be a great sort of consternation to us in the church, Christians, because we don't want the world to hate us. God is love. Blessed are the peacemakers, et cetera, et cetera. The animosity of the world is a great sadness to us, and frustration, and also suffering. Because the world hates the church and it afflicts the church. Now, there's another danger in to say, well, no, the world, it's all, this is the gaslighting thing, it's all in your head. There's some book, this, you know, I was doing all this martyr work, and there's some book that came out of, and it was talking about the myth of Christian martyrdom, and it was talking about how the martyrdom complex in Christianity is a sort of a projection. It's a psychological problem. It's like the Christians don't have it that bad. They got it better than everybody else. And they're not really being persecuted or anything like this. And so there's this kind of persistent myth of Christian persecution. Now, to that we say, Jesus says, "This in this world you will have tribulation." The world hates the church. The world hates you. This is what Jesus tells us, that this is how it's going to be. And we see it confirmed in reality. But part of the problem is that the... I don't know exactly how to... Part of the problem is that every Christian is only half Christian. Remember? You have the flesh. You have a part of you, Christian, have a part of you that hates you being a Christian. And so, even if the world was great and loved the fact that you're a Christian, you would still feel the affliction of your own flesh, and you have the devil. And so these all pile on, and they make it feels, the trouble that the Christian experiences is more than can be observed. If you want to understand it, then go for it. If you're, you know, a pagan and you're trying to understand that and that's helpful, then okay. So, but this is for the Christian, so we feel it, and we feel the world is not our home, that we don't belong here. But we want to remember that we never did. The Christians in the 80s and the Christians in the 50s and the Christians in the 1930s and the Christians in the 1870s and the Christian in the 1620s and the Christians in the 1111s and the Christians in the whatever always were hated by the world. Okay? So don't think something new is happening. But I do think that the hatred of the world takes different forms. So the way the world used to hate the Christians was by feeding them to the lions. Or, you know, the Nebuchadnezzar style hatred, which is throw them in the oven. Or, you know, the Muhammad style hatred, which is get out the sword. The style of hatred that we face is a little bit different now. I don't know how many calls and conversations I've had in the last few weeks. I mean, just, and it's more and more every week about how can I be a Christian in this woke, you know, on the battle lines of the culture wars and the woke agenda and the critical theory and the LGBTQAI plus. How can I, you know, what can I do it? Where do I have to draw the line? At what point do I have to refuse to do what I'm being asked to do? And at what point can I do what I'm being asked to do? This is so difficult. It used to be this way in colleges. We would talk this way about, oh, you're going to the secular college, so now you got to go face these pagan professors. I mean, I remember a professor of mine, my mythology professor, and I took a second class from him, and the first day of class he said, Brian, my goal in this semester is that you are not a Christian. And I said, wow, that's strange, because that's my same goal, is that by the time I'm done with you, that you are a Christian. I don't think either one of us succeeded, but you know, that it's where, if you're going to go and into this kind of pagan, godless, Christian assaulting culture, it was going to be at the secular university. But now it's at your job. It's in the military. We got news about the Boy Scouts today or yesterday. It's everywhere. It's in the air now. The whole sexual and gender revolution is coming. And if we stand up and say, hey, well, you know how God talked about marriage as a husband and wife, and sex is only in the bounds of marriage, and also God created man and woman from the beginning, and you say stuff like that, and kaboom! It's coming for you. It's strange to me that the church is the last place that it's safe to say these things. I always want the persecution to come first to the church. You know? I mean, lock me up. Not all, you know, not my elders. Not the members. But, oh well. Lord knows best. So now it's coming for you. And this is just the particular shape that the hatred of the world takes today. And for our kids, I think it'll look different. And for their kids, it'll look different. It's just the way it goes. The world hates the church, and the devil's always coming after us. Now, here's the problem for us, not for Jesus. Jesus says the world hates you, and then he says, but I do not ask you to take them out of this world. Jesus, why not? It seems like that would be great. Hey, all these people around here hate me. Like if you go to a party, you walk into the party, like everybody here at this party hates me. The best thing to do is to leave. But Jesus says no. In fact, not only does he state explicitly in John 17 that he refuses to pray that the Father would take us out of the world, he then goes on to say, I send them into the world. And that means, we're going into a storm here, by the way, it gets dark. And that means that Jesus wants you, dear Christian, and me, to be in the midst of those who hate us. Now that is uncomfortable. I know it's Jesus knows it's uncomfortable. That's where he wants us. He says, I sent them as you sent me, so I send them into the world. Because it turns out that Jesus loves the people who hate you. And Jesus loves the people who hate him. Remember this old joke? this guy who was sleeping in on Sunday and his wife woke him up and said, honey, you're going to be late to church. And he says, I don't want to go to church. Why not? She says, nobody there likes me. Everybody talks bad about me. People make fun of me all the time. I don't have any friends there. It's terrible. And his wife said, honey, you have to go. You're the pastor. Oh, poor guy. But we, none of us want to be in the midst of people that... Hey, but this is what it means to be... This is what Jesus did. He said he came to his own, but his own received him not. He is the light that came into the darkness. He said, men love the darkness more than the light. They reject the sun. This is how it goes. Jesus comes to redeem the world that hates him, and he sends you to bring his light and blessing and love and even his word of redemption and the forgiveness of sins into the darkness of this world. I send you, says Jesus, like sheep into the midst of wolves. So that we see the world hating the church and we think, well, best to be out of this world. And Jesus says, nope, different plans, buddy. Because he knows the end. Jesus knows that the light shines in the darkness and that the darkness cannot overcome it. Jesus knows that we might have to suffer, but we will live forever. Jesus knows that in the end, his kingdom will stand and the kingdoms of this world will fall. He knows that. So he says, in the world you'll have trouble, but cheer up. I have overcome the world. Can you believe it? So, Cheer up. Sunday drive home.
Quick announcements. Number one, Worldwide Bible Class Wednesday morning, studying the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Come and join me for that. It's on here recorded, but it's boring. You got to be there live. That's where the fun is. 10 o'clock Texas time. What other time is there? Also, Wednesday whatnot. I got it out this week. Saturday whatnot. But anyway, that's the weekly free newsletter. You can sign up for that at wolfmuller.co/Wednesday. It's a free weekly-ish, newsletter-ish thing with links and all the other stuff. So hopefully that's enjoyable. And it's a way to keep in touch if, you know, the old YouTube decides to shut us down and turn us off. And because of compliancy issues or whatever, who knows? That's the best way to keep in touch. So you can jump on over there and sign yourself up. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. There's a lot of ton of free books hanging around there, too. At the old wolfmuller.co, including the most recent book I wrote, Martin Luther's Theology of the Martyrs, which you can download and read, and it's there for you. So hopefully that resource is fun. And if you speak of the Spanish, Oliver, our friend Oliver, has been translating a bunch of articles into Spanish. There's more Spanish stuff on the website than English stuff now. That's great. So I gotta start writing some more English stuff. So Oliver has more to translate. But if you have friends and family that would like some of the Law Gospel stuff in Spanish, you can find those resources there too. All right, enough commercials. You guys have a great day and a great week. God's peace be with you.